Welcome everyone to the third episode of the Ukrainian Football Podcast. I'm Adam from Ukrfoot24 and I'm really happy to welcome back again Andrew from Zorya Lundansk. Evening Andrew, hope you're well.
Hi everyone. What a day, what a week. Well, 2 weeks it's been since we last recorded. Quite a crazy one to be honest, especially with the fact that Mircea Lucescu is the new Dynamo Kyiv manager. Or he was, or he is, or we don't actually know 100% certain from the club. But I think we will be finding out by tomorrow exactly what's going on in official terms. So in terms of the basis of the news that happened today, quite breaking stuff. Mircea Lucescu was announced as Dynamo Kyiv manager last Thursday, and obviously that had some uproar in itself. And just 4 days later, today, on Monday, he wrote a supposed letter to Ihor Surkis, which was supposedly picked up by some a Romanian news outlet that shared it, which said that he really disliked the sort of result from the Dynamo Ultras, and he sort of is uncomfortable working for a club where the sort of main core of the fans won't be supporting him and his work. So it's all a bit of an S storm at the moment, as far as I'm aware, well, as far as I'm concerned and everyone else on Twitter and social media. We're just sort of waiting on an official confirmation from the club as to what's happening. But as far as the majority of the journalists that I've been following on social media have been concerned, are saying that Lucescu is staying. He's flying to Kyiv again tonight and will be picking up training or having some sort of further talks tomorrow with regards to what's going on there.
We got Vladimir Zverev again back with us tonight from Pro Football on 1+1. Vladimir, I know you've been very busy today on the phones talking to people. What have you been hearing about the situation?
So, first of all, this absolutely crazy situation, even for Dynamo Kyiv, the club who always presenting us the best news in the Ukrainian football. But I repeat, even for Dynamo Kyiv, I think it's too much. So they signed coach from the biggest rival, signed Mircea Lucescu, and after 4 days, we got the news that Lucescu is resigning. Yes, and it's been quite a lot of different news were today about the Lucescu, if he's staying or he going. Of he leaving Dynamo Kyiv, but this evening we got the news from the Dynamo president. I know they had a conversation, like it was like a half an hour. They were talking, the president from Dynamo Kyiv were talking with Mircea Lucescu, and I don't know what exactly the president of Dynamo Kyiv said, but Lucescu, the last news, he's staying. And he will back to Kyiv after the signing contract. He back to Kyiv tomorrow, and this Thursday he will give the press conference where he will try to explain how the situation is going. So today we really got better from the Romanian newspaper, the biggest Romanian newspaper, Gazeta Sportulirol. Where Lucescu saying that he's leaving Dynamo Kyiv because the fans, the public, the fans of Dynamo Kyiv and the legends of Dynamo Kyiv, they don't understand the signing. They don't want to see the Lucescu. But in my opinion, we have to know that this newspaper who shared this information, this Gazeta Sportulirol, they are biggest friends of Lucescu. So this newspaper, they always sharing the information which Lucescu said to him to share, said to them to share. And this newspaper is very close to Lucescu. And I think that might be the combination Lucescu trying to, I don't know, to up his price in the eyes of the European public. And now he's staying in Dynamo Kyiv. For me, it's not a surprise that he stays in Dynamo Kyiv, because after I see so this newspaper sharing the information, I know it's not it's good for Lucescu that this information will go to the public. And so now Lucescu stays. In my opinion, I'm not sure, but do you hear me?
Yeah. We do, Vladimir.
So my own opinion, he's a 75, almost 75 years old. And I don't know, is in his age. So does he ready to be the coach of Dynamo Kyiv? And I'm not sure he will be a coach for a long time.
I agree. Thank you there, Vladimir. I'm really happy today to welcome Max Makarov, longtime Dynamo Kyiv supporter. Good evening, Max. Welcome to the podcast.
Good evening. Good evening, everyone. Thank you for inviting.
It's great to have you here. So what's your take on the whole situation today? As a Dynamo Kyiv supporter, what do you think about what's going on with the club?
Well, honestly, as for many, for me, it was a bit shocking information when I first knew about that. I thought it's definitely fake news before I wrote the official confirmation from the president of Dynamo. But as a Dynamo Kyiv supporter for more than 20 years, I would have to accept that. And definitely will still support the team, because I'm first of all supporting the team, as many others. Lucescu or anybody else, he's just a manager. He's coming and going. And if we take into consideration the sports point of view, we just forget about his past. We forget about his 12 years in Shakhtar Donetsk. If we just take this point of view, I can definitely be sure that he will bring something new to the team. And without no doubt, for the last years, we faced with a huge crisis in our team. The team is not progressing at all. And the managers we had before, after Sergei Rybrov left the club, definitely not on the level of Dynamo Kyiv club. If we just take the sports point of view and we consider that Mircea Lucescu is coming, and he is definitely coming, it's an official information already. He will be coming back to Kyiv tomorrow morning at 9:30, and he will give a press conference, as Vladimir said, on Thursday. He definitely has got a lot of experience. He can manage a big teams like Dynamo Kyiv, that's for sure. He knows Ukrainian league pretty well, that's without no doubt. He knows the main rival pretty well. He knows how Shakhtar plays. Of course, he did realize that Ukrainian fans or Dynamo fans will not admit him and will not welcome him with the flowers and music when he comes to Kyiv and comes to Ukraine. He realized that, definitely. And the game he is trying to play, or somebody is trying to play, we will never know, with all this coming back or not coming back. It's something behind that for sure. What he can bring to the team, he can bring the charisma. He will definitely change the tactics and the team structure. We already know that young Supriaga is coming back already from Dnipro. He's returning to the club. He probably, when he signed the contract, he has an agreement with Igor that Igor will spend some money for the good players, probably. He understands that he doesn't have a huge budget to bring him 10 young Brazilian players. He understands that. My only worry here, not only worry, but that he doesn't trust a lot of Ukrainian players. And we know that Dinamo always associate with Ukrainian national team. And I'm afraid that young players like Mykolenko, like probably Sirota and others, Tetesvili, they will stay on the bench when Luchesko comes. He will probably trust and bring to the team more experienced players and probably international players, not Brazilian maybe, but you never know. Regarding criticism from ultras and all the other things, for me, the club will never associate with Luchesko name as a manager, but I will definitely carry on support the team, first of all, the team with the name Dinamo Kyiv, but not Luchesko as a coach. I personally will never accept that Luchesko is a manager, is a new manager, but of course I will continue support the team. And as I will back up the previous point of view of my colleague that he will not stay in Dinamo for a long time, maximum 1 or 2 years, I think. But we will definitely see the changes, and we will definitely see the positive changes. And after 3, 4, 5 successful results, many ultras, they will probably not accept Luchesko, but they will probably let him manage the team for 1 or 2 years afterwards. That's my point of view. But personally, I didn't expect this appointment at all. And for me, it's very difficult to predict what happens next, especially within this one crazy week when we had one news after another where they were really shocking for the team and for our club.
Thanks, Max.
That's how I see that.
Thanks, Max. And good evening to Andrei, the King of North Kyiv. Obolon supporters must have been giggling a little bit over the last week. How have Obolon reacted to the news coming out of Dinamo?
Well, I can only speak of neutral fans as such, because there's no connection between Obolon and Luchesko whatsoever. However, there was once an accident in Obolon Arena when Obolon played Shakhtar in cup game, and he was, well, there's been a product placement of beer onto him, to say the least. Like, the fans were outrageous, and they basically poured a few cups of beer onto him and the rest of Shakhtar squad. So that's what I remember of him personally. But if you talk about Luchesko's appointment, well, this man created an era in Ukrainian football. 12 years, that's a lot. And a lot of fans, a lot of players who were being brought up in these years of him managing Shakhtar, they remember that, and they could not accept him as Dinamo Kyiv manager or any other man except Shakhtar. So he will be always connected with Shakhtar, with all the things he said, and all his treatment of Ukrainian players, first of all. Secondly, I would like to point out that he mentioned that he would like to bring back this tension of those 12 years of him in charge. And that's what we definitely see now. These 4 days, we've been back. It's like we're back in 2000s again. And well, that's a good point. But it ends there. That's it for me and for, I'm pretty sure, all the other people, because I mean, his statement today, we know that he's staying, at least for today, but his statement was that he doesn't like the ultras exception of him. So, and that's why he was quitting, basically, because he didn't like the all the tension around this appointment. And for me, that's the only point when he was right. Because I support ultras' point of view on that one. And if he noticed that, that tells you something. So, well, it's all We'll see what happens next, but well, I hope it will bring the interest back to the league as well. This season been outrageous so far, and this next season is coming, and it's going to be great.
I think so. Something that I want to pick up on there real quickly is the role of the ultras in all of this. Do they have too much power there to be able? We saw 4 days ago they had a meeting with Circus on the pitch at Lobanovsky Stadium. Do they have too much power within the club there? What do we think? Is it
something? Well, I think the ultras play a big role in our team's life, and we can, for example, take the examples of many other ultras in many other countries and big clubs. They're playing a big role. However, I think that at the moment they accept Luchescu as the manager of the main rival, who spent in Ukraine 12 years and was associating only with this club, and many times during his press conferences after the games he wasn't saying very nice things about our club and about managers in our club, about our president, etc. What I see here that we know that it's not a very easy situation in Ukrainian football at the moment, and we know that Dynamo was under big pressure from the president of Ukrainian league as well. And why Dynamo Ultras, why didn't they bring this question with Pavelko and the other people in the committee before? Why they had a big power, and why didn't they come to the football house before and made some sort of strike there and all these sort of things? I think it's just a personal things here happening with the ultras. They definitely have some power, but Igor, when he did this appointment, he probably didn't have a lot of choice at the moment. He doesn't have a huge variety of managers who would like to come to Dynamo right now during the season. I know that he, and everybody knows about that, he invited Sergei Rebrov and he refused to come back. He was talking to Skripnik, but Skripnik is not a level of Dynamo from my point of view, again, personally. So he didn't have a lot of choice. There were some rumors about international court, but, well, come on. Will they bring something new? Will they stronger than anybody else who they have on the board at the moment? I was personally thinking about Petrakov, the man who brought our youth national team to the Cup Champions last summer. But he never managed the club before. He was only managing the national teams, young national teams.
Thanks.
So they do have a power, but not such a big power, I think.
Okay.
Well, the way I see it is that Turkis always choose the safest option for him. The best option he knows, he's acquainted with, he will choose it. It's like the sheet of paper he's got on his table in his office, where he has names to choose from. He always chooses the safest option. And as we remember from his meeting with Ultras, he said, if you have 3 million of compensation, I will fire him right away. So it's all about him and the club. And he didn't ask anybody. He didn't ask anybody's advice whether he should pick any coach or not. So,
Vladimir.
Yeah, I'd like to add, I really know that Luchescu is getting crazy about what people talking about him, and he really disappointed about this acceptance of him in Ukraine. So he was really shocked when he received the feedback of the ultras and the legends of Dynamo Kyiv, and he didn't expected this this tension about him. And I think he was thinking that he can be like a superhero in the opinion of the Ukrainian fans, the fans of Dynamo Kyiv, he could be a superhero who built one team and now he changed the rival to be the coach, the new superhero of the new team. But he got extremely different reaction and he was shocked. I know this, I really know this. But in my opinion, there's only problem. I'm not a fan of Dynamo Kyiv as and also anyone of Ukrainian team and other Ukrainian teams, but I'm thinking with no emotions. So my own opinion, he's 75 years old and he built Shakhtar, and after 3 years after his coming, Shakhtar started to play a football which Luchescu wanted. So if Igor Sunskis will wait 3 years, it will be in 78. The person who he could be a good coach in the 78. We know one of the reasons he left Shakhtar, from his point of view, was the lot of flights. So he's an old man, and Shakhtar was playing in European Cups. Also, they fly every time to Kharkiv, playing in Ukrainian League. And he has, after 70 years, you know, it's a big big hit for his health, the flights. And now he started in the 75, he started to be coach of Dynamo Kyiv, and a lot of physical problems could be. And so this is my own point of view. I think, we know the Luchescu is a very cunning man. And I think maybe some period he will be a coach of Dynamo Kyiv, then he could say, so my son Razvan is with no job, he can replace me to be the coach of Dynamo Kyiv.
Andrew, anything you want to add in there, or we're going to move ready to move on?
Yeah, sure. No, I just want to wrap up. I'll just wrap up, I guess. Just a few points from me in terms of Luchescu's sort of recent career. Since he left Shakhtar, I read a piece on a comment from Serhii Palkin, the Shakhtar CEO, and he says that the reason they let him go and not renew his contract was actually because of the fact that Shakhtar was moving forward, whereas Luchescu was sort of stagnating as a manager. And you can see that sort of stagnation in his sort of next two jobs, where he was in charge of Zenit, where he came there, they were third, and I think he left and they were third. So no real progress in that sense. And I think they had quite a poor European campaign. And then he went to Turkey and he underperformed with their national team in two qualifying campaigns there. So, you know, it's difficult to judge whether he's past it and whether he can bring what Dynamo actually need, which is, you know, foundations for the future and some sort of new thinking, per se, from a younger manager who might be more dynamic in his outlooks, has been on to different countries and different continents. Although Luchescu has done that, but, you know, a good 30 years ago, etc., when he was managing the likes of in Turkey and in Italy. So we'll see about that. But just on the comment of the ultras, just in the whilst we've been recording, they've released the statement about Mircea Luchescu, and they've said that once he arrives on the 28th of July, they'll be making his time in Kyiv as difficult as possible. They will make sure that it's not only a sort of a hot welcome in terms of a warm welcome, but they'll just make his job as difficult as possible. And that Kyiv will never be as hospitable as Donetsk is for him. It's going to be a very sort of hostile atmosphere regardless. One thing that might play into his favour is that until sort of stadiums have full fans again, he might be able to bed in the club slightly early, but once fans return, etc., We don't really know, but it's going to be interesting nonetheless for any neutral out there. But it might give you a few grey hairs if you're a Dynamo fan.
Well, moving on. Otherwise, if we could talk about Luchescu probably until Friday night. Never mind 10 o'clock tonight, gentlemen. Well, all of this came about. It didn't really come about because of the last weekend of the season, but the last weekend of the season has been with us recently, and it did see Mikhailichenko's last game in charge of Dynamo Kiev with the defeat against Kolos there. Saw some very interesting game down in Zaporizhia between Zorya and Desna. Were we happy with the game down there? What did we think of the results? Gentlemen, Vladimir, can I come to you first with the opinions on the Zorya Desna game?
So I was one of the first who defended the Zorya in that game, because I couldn't realize that the team can came into the pitch and think, so today we had to have a draw, not to win and not to lose. I can't imagine like team can play just only for a draw, not for a win and not for a lose. I know that the players of Zorya was very tired, also the players of Desna, and we have the situation that the lot of fans, the Zorya got a lot of critics of the fans because they have no money. So they have small money, small budget for the next year, and the club, even club can disappear. And now they got that money. They fight for that money, for money for the Euro Cups. So they will receive, I think, 4 or 5 million euro for the Europa League. Also, or maybe some small money for the player sales. And for reaching this third place, they save the club, in my opinion. They save the all the season, because in this season they had the budget is around I think 4.5 million euros. So going to the Europa League, they save their club. And if you were rich, the first small money, just small money, the club could go to the under six of the Ukrainian championship.
Yeah, Vladimir, I don't know if it was the same for you, gentlemen. There, your connection was breaking up a little bit, but I'll try to summarize what you were saying there. It was about how, with Zorya making it qualifying in third place by getting the draw against Desna, the money that they'll earn from qualifying for the group stage will allow the club to continue next year. Their budget for this year was 4.5 million euros, and by qualifying for the group stage, they are likely to earn around 5 million in prize money from UEFA. And we had the very bizarre situation of news coming through from Kiev that Dynamo were losing 2-0, and one goal for Zorya would take them into the Champions League qualifications, and their draw resulting in celebrations on the pitch, and celebrations, quite extensive celebrations with the fans after the game outside the Slavutic Arena, where the whole of the arena was lit up in flares, I saw on the social media sites. Andrew, I don't know if you saw any of that as well. Your microphone's off, Andrew.
Sorry about that. It was a bit of a paradox, I'd say. At the end of the game, they interviewed Skripnik and asked him, why didn't you go for the win? And with, you know, the goalkeeper was time-wasting at the end there, just saving for the draw. And Skripnik said, well, we didn't want to risk conceding another goal and then going into fourth place and having to go through Europa League qualifying and potentially risking not making the group stages. So in that sense, it's justified, but it also brings up the question of, you know, sporting achievement. Do you want to achieve the highest level, a sort of a historic finish for Zorya, who are, you know, exiled themselves internally and could have made the Champions League qualifiers for the first time ever? But I mean, at the end of the day, it's done now. So they finish third and they go into the group stages automatically. Dinamo end up rather luckily finishing in second. After that, you know, a right let off of a season really for them. Just everyone else was worse compared to themselves, unfortunately. But yeah, it's a shame. I feel probably that Desnat also had a good shout of finishing in third, but didn't really cut the mustard at the very end, with probably a lack of experience on their behalf in terms of just going at it until the very end. But yeah, they'll have at least some qualifiers to try and get through.
Fingers crossed for Desnat. I believe the qualifiers are taking place at your ground, Andre, in Obolon there. So a bit of European football for Obolon supporters.
Do we talk about Zorya, right?
Yeah, go on.
The thing with this match is that emotionally, yeah, it felt really, really disgraceful, because when you watch the match at the last minutes, the keeper is wasting time, and the captain of Zorya on the bench and the other subs of them are just standing there with their hands behind their heads. Cannot believe what's happening. Why don't we attack? But after that, when the emotions are gone, we realize that Zorya is losing four players, four main squad players. They sell others to Europe. They don't have the money for the club. So they can only sell players or qualify to take the money straight away. And for Desnat, they just couldn't provide. They just couldn't deliver this quality of the game in the end. So, it's fair. That's what we predicted before. Dinamo second, Zorya third, Desnat fourth. It's everything to play for. So, pretty much everything we discussed before.
How did you feel, Max, afterwards? Was it a sense of relief or success for Dinamo on a Sunday evening after everything was finished?
Well, to be honest, this season was one of the weakest in terms of performance of the team. And I think it's the weakest squad for Dinamo for the last 5-6 years. And it was a relief, definitely, because I wish this season to be over as soon as possible. In terms of this break with the quarantine, and after we came back, after we returned, the quality of the game was absolutely poor, and we could play great for half a match with Zap Lugansk, for instance, and then who could expect such a result with Kolos in the last game? Well, with this squad, with these players, you never know. We don't have a good quality forward at the moment at all, and with our defense it's the same situation. The players are simply not on the level of defense at the moment, and we need big changes. So it was a relief for me when the season is over, and it was a relief then we found out about the result in with Desnat and Zorya when they played 2-2. And my friend was watching this game simultaneously, and he was reporting me the result, and he was saying that, oh well, come on, don't worry, Zorya is not playing, they're playing for a draw. So the draw was for them is a big result, because again, as the league said, 5 million was there, and they understood that they need to qualify to the European League group straight away, and they will get this budget for the next year.
I'd like to point out Skripnik in the end of this match, because this was masterfully played for him not to allow Desna to score. And the Zorya players, they didn't know the score of Dinamo Kolos match until their very last minute. Mm-hmm. So it went out pretty well for them. Skripnik is well done.
Yeah. Vladimir.
They blame Skripnik, the lot of fans. Yes, they blame Skripnik because there was like some kind of agreement maybe that finished the second and Zorya finished the third. And the one of the point this was the Skripnik would be next coach of Dynamo, and it was like the initiative of the Skripnik to take a draw, and then the next season he will be the coach of Dynamo Kyiv and he will play champion. But I know the Skripnik, he was promised to his players that he'll stay with them. It was 1 week ago, straightly before the game against Desna. Skripnik promised to players that he will stay. And I know some key players of Zorya extended their contracts. And now we got the news today that the Dnipro 1, they really want to sign the Skripnik as a head coach. Because the previous head coach of Dnipro, Mikhailenko, they lost to the Kolos. And the management of the Dnipro, they want sack this coach and his staff to sign the new one. In my opinion, in my information, the Skripnik is the next coach of the Dnipro, not Dynamo Kyiv, but Dnipro.
That will be interesting to see. That will be interesting to see. What do we think, gentlemen? We've had the playoff semi-finals this weekend, and on Wednesday we've got Kolos meeting Mariupol for the final spot in the Europa League. It was interesting games this weekend. I think both results were not results I expected. I thought Dnipro would beat Kolos and Alexandria would beat Mariupol. It shows how little I know. But who do we think is going to take the final spot in the Europa League and join Zorya and Desna representing Ukraine? Andrew, what was your take? Who do you think is going to win?
I mean, after that sort of shock performance from Kolos, I mean, they played quite well towards the end of the season. They played two good matches against Shakhtar and also against Dynamo, obviously. And then they just completely dismantled Dnipro 1. It was quite a crazy game. Lots of goals coming in very quickly after one another. But it was a complete battering at the end of the day. I think Dnipro 1, they just lacked the quality, really. And Kolos are just more determined in the fact that they want to get that European spot. And I think probably on the face of it, on a one-legged tie, they might have the edge over Mariupol, who have sort of lacked the quality consistently this season. And even when Kolos and Mariupol were playing each other, it was, you know, I think Kolos should be able to edge it.
Yeah. Andre, who you got?
Yeah, I would pick up Andrew on this one. Kolos is my favourite in playoffs because the other season, I remember the last gaming day of Pesha Liga, they played Obolon, and that was a decisive match for them to promote to Premier League, and it finished 3-2. It was a magnificent match. And next thing you know, they're in the final of playoffs for Europa League. I like the teams with such kind of rise from the bottoms, and it's a great story. They have a promising manager, and they've beaten Dnipro 1, which is quite a success because Mikhailenko of Dnipro 1 and the players, the young squad of Dnipro 1 was performing quite ambitiously as well. And it was a level game, and Kolos basically destroyed them, and it was great. If you talk about Alexandria and Mariupol, they were basically evenly matched. And Alexandria always, with Sharon, with their current coach, they always play the same style. And they have only one creative player, who is Kovalets. And he is the only one who can basically work with the ball. And the others, they have a couple of running wingers, but the rest of them is just, hit and run. So same thing with Mariupol, but they were saved by the young U20 champion, world champion of the last year, Kashuk, I think. He went on as sub and basically scored the winner. So it would be a great final. But as again, I support Colas in this one.
Okay. Max, up to you. Who have you got as the winner on Wednesday?
Well, I'm pretty sure that Colas will be in Europe. That's probably going to happen because Colas, at the end of the season, they look pretty well. They had some bad games in the beginning after the quarantine when they lost 5-1 to Desna and a couple of other games. But even in those games, they look pretty well. Even with Dinamo, when they lost to Dinamo in the first part of the season, when they lost 2-1, I think, where there were 3 or 4 penalties in the game, they looked pretty well. And Kostishin, the manager, the coach of this team, he's a young and ambitious. And it's a different story whether they actually prepared for the European League in autumn. But in this game, I would support for Colas. And I think they will be the team from Ukraine, the next team from Ukraine in European League in autumn.
Vladimir, finally over to you.
First of all, I think if we let to play Alexandria and Mariupol the next 5 games, I think Alexandria will win the next 5 games. And it was a big sensation, the win of Mariupol. And for me, is clearly favorite of the game is Colas. I try to explain why, because the Colas has a lot of experienced players. Some of them were playing the Euro Cups, like Bogdan or Lysenko. They play in the Dynamo Kyiv. Lysenko also played in Metalist. And so for these players, like the players of experienced players of middle age, this is the last chance for me to play in the European Cups. And I think they will do everything to take this last chance to play in the Eurocups. So the second one, Colas has a really good organization of playing. And a couple of speed players, speed midfielders, who can make a difference. Because the defenders of Mariupol, for me, is not too speedy. So, of course, they play in with a big speed comparing to Alexandria. And the third one is, I think, so the Colas is the favorite for me because of these things.
Oh, thank you. I tell you what, wouldn't it be great to see Colas be allowed to host those European matches at the school on the school field back in the village? It would be absolutely superb. I saw a video clip recently that the stadium has now been prepared and it's ready to host Premier League football. It was my first place to visit outside of Kiev for football in Ukraine, and it is a fantastic little setup down there. And it really is, as Andre, you said, a Cinderella story almost, how well that's done. You know, for people listening to the show, Kolos Kovalivka, it's a village in the south of Kiev region that's population of less than 3,000 people, and it's received a huge investment from an agricultural company which is financing the development of the club, and they have come from nowhere over the last 5 to 10 years to the top 6 of Ukrainian football, which is really great to see. And you know, it sort of, we were talking, 4 weeks ago about small clubs around Ukraine, and Colas can be seen as an example for every team in this country that they may follow on to. One final thing with the Premier League that I want to touch on today before we move on is the young players that played in the final week. We saw Vorskla send their first team off on holiday, and pretty much every single player in their team was under the age of 21 in the final week. We saw Dnipro give debuts to a number of players. We saw Shakhtar give debuts to a number of players as well. Was there anyone who stood out in that final week who could become a star in the future, shall we say? What do we think? Anyone in the Vorskla team to start off with? What did we think of the goalkeeper's performance?
Sure. yeah, well, Pavlotti started in goal in that final, I think that final game against Dnipro 1. Youngest ever captain of a UPL side. I think he was like 16 and 2 days to his 17th birthday. So that's going to take some beating, really. He pulled off a few nice saves, but ultimately I think Vorskla lost 3-0. So it was one of those. They've still got a bit of learning to do, of course, and getting some more experience. But certainly a good start to his career in terms of getting some time there. I think probably the most interesting players that we want to probably give bigger focus to is the likes of the Mudriks, who actually didn't show too much in his sparse performances towards the end of the season. But, you know, maybe that'll come with time if he gets better from there. And the same goes for, I think, Danilo Sakan, but he probably needs a loan somewhere or move away if he wants some consistent football.
Mm-hmm. Vladimir, you're nodding your head there. Do you agree with Andrew?
I can say that, so I'm watching and Ukrainian football and following Ukrainian football for a long time, and I can definitely say that the school of Dynamo Kyiv and school of Shakhtar, they have they give them much, much quality players, young players than the other schools. So if we watch the teams of under six or the teams in the middle of table, so we can see that players from the Dynamo Kyiv school or Shakhtar school is much qualified from the others. They have a best passing, they have a best abilities to watching the pitch, and we can say that the best players, the best young players in Ukrainian football is the players from the schools of Dynamo Kyiv and Shakhtar. The main reason of this, I think, because Dynamo Kyiv and Shakhtar, they take the players from the other schools in the age of 14 and 15 years. Like, they stealing these players and going, and they go to the Dynamo and Shakhtar. And we have in the Shakhtar team, we have 70 players in contracts. So this biggest part of these players, they will never play in Shakhtar, the same in Dynamo Kyiv. And it's the bad situation, as I think, because they can't develop in the teams. So if we will have these players in other teams, they can play in the young age in the Ukrainian Premier League, and they will start to develop. So, but if we can say of the another teams, of the schools of another teams, so you, Andrew talked about the Vorskla, the young goalkeeper Rosenko, I can say that I really like this, the player of Vorskla, Kravchuk. He's an attacking midfielder. I watched him, the first time I saw him in the quarterfinal of the National Cup, they win in Chernihiv against Desna. And he played a really, really good performance, attacking performance. So this is the player I really like from Vorskla, I can say. And other players, I really like the son of Kola's coach, Kostishin, so young Denis Kostishin. He's a really talented player, and he was in school of the Dnipro, and now he's playing with the Kola's. He had a very, very bad injury. So he broke the knee ligaments this autumn, and he just started to play after the quarantine. And he's a really talented player for me. So this is the young players I can say about.
Max, I know Dynamo had to play strong teams in the last week. as they still had a lot to play for. Are there any youngsters that we should be looking out for over the next year coming through at Dynamo from the under-21s?
You mean in Dynamo or in the other teams?
From Dynamo in particular, or any other team that's caught your eye?
If we would look at the other teams, I would agree with Volodymyr, and I would name Kostishin, the son of the main coach. I like him very much, and I think he's got a good future from Kola's team. If we're talking about our team, well, I still have a big hope for our youth, and hopefully for in the next season, we will see many more young players in Dynamo from U21. We can see Sirota already in the middle of the defense, a couple of games. I hope that Supriaga will come back definitely and play in Dynamo for next season. I still think he's a good player and good forward. He's pretty young, but still he has to have a chance for next season. Tsitaishvili, he is very talented player and still think that he didn't actually play this season pretty well. Although he has got a lot of time now playing when he was substituting Tsigankov when he had an injury. So there are many good players in the now, many good young players. Again, coming back to the Luchescu, as I said in the beginning, that he actually doesn't trust a lot to Ukrainian young players in particular. We could see that for many years when he was managing Shakhtar, and we could see the situation when he was trusting only the Brazilian players and international players overall, but not the Ukrainian. There are only a couple like Piatov and Stepanenko who were playing for the whole time that for many years, but not many others, and they would have to go to the other teams from Shakhtar. So I hope that situation would not repeat in Dynamo in autumn or in the coming season.
Thanks. Right then, moving on to the Persia. It's a shame to put the Persia League to the back end of the show, but it's been a crazy show tonight. Vladimir's had to dive off. I think he's had a few phone calls from various people. Oh, and I think he's just going to come back and join us. Well, it's been an interesting few weeks with the Persia League. Andre, could you bring us up to date? Where are we with the Persia League at the moment? I know Obolon are still fighting away in the promotion area.
Well, struggling to promote, I would say, because we just lost our game to the mid-table team from Kremenchuk, and we had our player was sent off. The sent-off I cannot explain. But the thing is, we have three big games coming up. The first is with Ingolets on Thursday. And next two are with Agribusiness and Metalist. And this is where everything would be decided for Obolon and those other teams. Because those are basically the playoffs. You can name them. Because Agribusiness, as we know, they don't promote even if they finish first. That's why we have to take in mind the situation when the fourth team in the table will promote instead of them, and we cannot predict who it might be. As we know, with our business president, he was sacked from his federation vice presidency position because of assault on the referee in the changing rooms previously. But the way I see it, they just wanted him out of the picture, the federation. That's my point of view, at least. That's the least I could say right now. If we talk about other teams, there are rumors that, including this president of our business, that Ruch and Inhulets have already bought their places in Premier League, which I don't believe, of course, but who knows. And Volin and Metalist are the Obolon's brothers in crime right now, because they are the teams which really have to fight for their positions in the top Persia League table. But finally, I would point out that it's great that we discussed the Premier League and Persia League equally now. It's the first season when it happens, because this Ukrainian football is really getting interesting.
It really is. It's been a great season so far. And we've still got a few more weeks to go, haven't we? How many more games have Obolon got this year?
Four left.
So we're going to finish probably in about two or three weeks' August. Time.
Yeah, August.
Right. Andrew, what was your take on the agro business?
Yeah, the serious agro business there. This whole saga with Oleg Sobotsky, the owner and chairman, was quite a strange one. They lost to Minai 2-0 at home, and following the game, inside the referee's room, the referee was assaulted and left with a bloody face following the game. And it was sort of difficult to determine exactly who was involved, etc. Initially, Oleg Sobotsky, who's the owner of agribusiness, but also the Ukrainian Association of Football vice president, well, he was, as Andrei said, he was apparently one of the instigators of this assault, according to reports. And as a result of his involvement, he's been since sacked from his vice presidency role. And he's been banned from all footballing activity. Agribusiness has been fined 500,000 hryvnia, and they've been banned from playing at their home stadium. So, all rather, you know, indefinite decisions. But time will tell whether it will impact on their league finish position. But even then, they were never expected to go up anyway. But it just all seems to be some sort of Wild West going on down there, if you know what I mean. Bit of just unsophisticated unpleasantries. But
deepest Klimaninsky. Where all types of madness goes on. Vladimir, anything you want to add there?
Did you see the footage of after the game of agribusiness? They went to Volyn, and we showed this video in the yesterday program.
I saw that.
After the game, the Volyn fans, they had a conversation with the coach Tlumak and with the players. As always in Ukrainian football, the fans starting to blame the players how they play and how they lost and like this, and they started the one of them more the one fan the more everyone of Volyn, they started to insulted the agribusiness. He said that you lost to his players, to Volyn players. Hey, you lost to this fucking wheel. And when he said, it was Sobotsky, the president of agribusiness, is going and say, hey, so you, this is you, not me, you village. And they started to started to insult each other. And Sobotsky, he was took by his guards and go away. And the fans of Volyn, they started to kick in with the police. Police started to to push the Volyn fans, and it was the finish. The police win the battle against Volyn fans, but it was like some kind of zoo. The behavior of the Volyn fans, it was some kind of zoo. So I don't know if you've seen this video, you might see it on YouTube.
Well, we might do as well. We'll put it as a link in on Twitter for people to tune into when the podcast goes out tomorrow.
I can send the link by Twitter. I can add you, so you can show, you can watch this.
We just had a quick question from Alex on Twitter. just to confirm, it was something we touched on 2 weeks ago about FK Metal and Metalist 1925. That can we just confirm there that they will be two separate entities next year when the new FC Metal comes into business, and they won't be taking over the Metalist club? Anyone there can confirm that they're going to be two separate clubs in Kharkiv?
I can say we talked in the previous show, in the previous our podcast, we were talking about the new club of metal creating in the Kharkiv, and Alexander Kucher, the legend of the Shakhtar, will be the coach of this club. So this club is linking heavily linking with the Yaroslavsky, and they told me in Kharkiv that it might be the new club who replacing the new Metalist. So we know in the Metalist 1925, the management of the previous Metalist. So it could be, so the management of the 1925 will move to the new club and started to work there to be like the new Metalist. And after this, the Metalist 1925 could disappear.
Thank you. One final thing, slightly sadder thing for me this week. Obviously, there's been a lot of news coming out of Kramatorsk as it's the 6-year anniversary this week of Stepan Chebenko's sad execution at the hands of the militants in eastern Ukraine. There's been some very good news articles, though, about the football tournaments that have been run by Kramatorsk and been led by Stalina, Stepan's mother. Some of you out there will know that I went personally to Kramatorsk earlier this year for Avangard's game against Metalist 1925, as we were just talking about them. And it is, I think it's important at this stage to give a lot of credit to Avangard for what they've done in honour of Stepan. You know, they have, there's been some news in the UK about the retiring of numbers, and Stepan has been retired by Avangard. And when you go to the stadium, there is a huge monument to him now at the members' entrance into the ground. Mr. and Mrs. Chebenko are fantastic people. They really are fantastic people for everything they do. And when I was there, they took it there at halftime. They took their time out to talk to a drunken Englishman, as I was at that time, to tell me everything that they're doing down there. And it was a very impactful day. It really was. And I must also give a lot of credit to, we were talking about Dynamo's ultras earlier, so I'll talk a little bit about Kramatorsk's ultra firm. And how I got involved with the club was that the Kramatorsk ultras reached out to me on Instagram. And as they knew I was going there, they agreed to meet me and took me all around the city and gave me a great day out in Kramatorsk that day, and introduced me to some of the local beers as well down there, which are rather tasty. Charle, in particular, is a favourite of mine from the Donetsk region. But at this time of the year in particular, it's very important to remember what, suffering has gone on in the eastern regions of Ukraine. And well done for Avangard for keeping their club going through this difficult time. Okay, but tonight we're going to finish on a slightly happier note. End of season awards. Team of the year, everyone. Who's your team of the year from the Premier League? Andrew, over to you, first of all.
Yeah, I think it's sort of a hands-down one here. Team of the year has got to be Desna for their sort of surprise package. I mean, they scored the third most amount of goals after Dynamo and Shakhtar. I don't think too many people were expecting them to perform as well as they did, and maybe to come as close as they did to actually second and third at the end of the day. And I think Alexander Rabokhin's done a great job over there, and hopefully they can get themselves an even further award by actually qualifying for the Europa League group stages next season, which I think would be well merited with a great squad of players.
Can I just add, he is a really nice guy whenever I meet him. He'll take time out to have a chat, and he'll always try to say the few English words that he knows. So, all credit to the man. Max, team of the year for you.
Well, in Premier League, in Ukrainian team?
Yes, Ukrainian Premier League.
Well, then I would agree with Andrew. It's definitely Desna. You will never expect that they would play like that in the first six, and they would be so close to the second place. And again, back in the words, they scored so many goals. And when you see those games, when Desna players, it's always interesting. That's the main point. It's always interesting. You will always expect so many goals in this game when Desna is playing. So it's definitely Desna, for sure.
Andre?
Well, I would go with Kolos, because I was so much impressed with their match with Dynamo, and they won 2-0. And let's not forget that Kolos is still a key region team. And whenever a key region team, or just any other team other than Dynamo, which is based in Kiev, beats them in their own ground, just like Obolon did back in the day, I will go down, hands down, for Kolos. Any day.
I know we lost you a little bit there in the middle, Andre, but we got the meaning of why you chose Kolos. I think it came through, though. Okay.
Yeah, so I can repeat that. It's because any time the region team beats Dynamo is always a quality, and that's why I go with Kolos.
Okay. Vladimir, who's your team of the year?
First of all, I can agree with the colleagues. I can agree with all of you who said about the Desna and Kolos. For me, the team of the year is Dynamo Kyiv, because any one team is given so much emotions, so much news, and for me, like a journalist, Dynamo Kyiv is the biggest newsmaker in the world. But if you talk seriously, I can choose between Desna and Zorya, and I will choose Zorya, because I tried to explain, because the new coach, it was his first season in Ukrainian football. At the start of the season, he said that he will change the game, and he explained how he wants to change the game. And he immediately changed it. And then his team started to play from the strange position against Shakhtar and Dynamo. And they winning against Shakhtar. They winning against Dynamo. They have 60% of ball possession. And in the one game against Shakhtar, the team with the best possession in Ukraine. And sometimes Zorya had the 63% of possession. It was never before, like, I don't know, 5 or 6 years. It was never... the team against Shakhtar who had so much possession. The team, the first shoot, the match, the biggest number of shoots, the biggest number of shoots in the shoots and also crosses. So for me, how the Skripnik changed the game and how Skripnik immediately changed the style of Zorya is the biggest performance of this season. So Zorya for me.
Thank you. Right, players of the season, gentlemen. I'll go back to you, Vladimir, on this. I'll start with you this time. Player of the season.
You asked me? Because I lost connection. You asked
yes,
me,
player of the season, Vladimir. The season. I don't know if he's thinking.
So I wasn't ready for this question, but for me, in my opinion, we have a couple of players underestimated in this season. So we were talking about the strikers, we were talking about midfielders, but we were talking about the Desna goalkeeper past. For me, his performance is the best goalkeeper of this season. So we can say about the players, the strikers like Filipov, yeah, or Moraes, who scored 20 goals, or we can talk about the wingers of Zorya. But can I tell about the goalkeeper of Desna, Ivan Past, who made a great performance this season?
Thank you. Andre, to you.
Well, I would say Supraga, because he scored overall, he scored most goals than any other Dynamo Kyiv forwards combined altogether for this season. And also personally him, he scored a hat-trick against Dynamo in Dnipro 1 Dynamo game earlier this season. And he didn't celebrate, and he played masterful in this match. And if you haven't seen this footage, then see it. This is worth to watch.
Thank you. Matt, over to you.
Well, as a Dynamo Kyiv fan, I would name Carlos De Pena. I think he is the only one who actually deserves to be to stay in the team, and he was playing the whole season on one pretty much good level. So Carlos De Pena, that's my choice in the league.
And Andrew, over to you.
Yeah, I'd probably have to go for Alan Patrick, actually, at Shakhtar. I think he was rather understated. Sort of this season, he rather commanding as centre defensive mid. He had quite a lot of goal contributions as well. And I mean, Shakhtar really just walked the league, and I think he played quite a big part in that. And he also added those performances in Europe too. So I'm going to give it to Alan Patrick.
Thank you, thank you. And the final one for tonight, villain of the year.
I think we can all agree it's Ihor Surkis.
Anybody want to dispute that? Anybody want to argue against it? Well, thank you, gents. I've really enjoyed it tonight. I hope you have too. And I hope everyone out in internet land enjoys listening to it as well. Andrew, if people want to follow you, where can they get in touch with you?
Yeah, I'm on Facebook, Instagram and Twitter at Zorya Londonsk.
Andre, over to you.
For me, it's Instagram, Ray Vic.
Thank you.
That's the only thing. You can just follow and ask me anything whenever you want.
Vladimir.
Facebook.
Vladimir Zverov.
Yeah, Facebook and Twitter. Not using.
And Max, if people want to get in touch, where can they find you?
Well, Facebook, it's really easy to find me. Anytime, please contact me, no problem.
Fantastic. Roma, you asked about the Euro 2021 squad. We're going to do a national team special on the 21st of August. On the 10th of August, we're going to be talking about the Europa League and the end of the Persia League in 2 weeks' time. But in 4 weeks' time, we're going to focus on the national team, and we're going to come back to your questions about that then. I hope everyone's enjoyed it. We apologise for being long tonight, but it's been such a crazy 2 weeks in Ukrainian football. It was very optimistic that we'd be done in 1 hour, but 75 minutes is a good effort. So thank you, everyone. I'm Adam at UkraFoot24. You can find me on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and pretty much everywhere else, even on LinkedIn these days. Have a good 2 weeks, everyone. Take care and goodbye.
Bye.